Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll begin a conversation on the role of courage in leadership. Andy, when we introduce a topic like courage in leadership, we see images of William Wallace or George Washington who fought battles that required courage. But what is the role of courage for a marketplace leader?
The role of courage in the context of leadership is that all leaders, every leader, at some point along the way, we have to challenge what is. We talk about this all the time. We have to challenge what is for the sake of what could be and what should be. We love progress. We love moving the organization forward. And anytime we challenge the status quo, it requires courage because most of us have enough experience to know once you begin challenging the status quo, there's going to be pushback.
Right.
Which reminds me of something Frank Blake shared with our podcast audience some years ago. He said every once in a while he looks over and sees something that needs to be addressed, and he would find himself beginning to talk himself out of it because he knew what it would entail. And I think that's part of this as well. We know when we charge in, when we call the meeting, when we make the call, anytime you challenge what is for the sake of what could be and should be, even if you're confident that it's the right direction, there's going to be pushback. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of have to gear up and get ready. Oftentimes to face down people that aren't enemies, unlike, the illustrations you gave, these are often friends, partners, mm-hmm. board members, people who are for us and for what we're trying to do. But it entails courage. In fact, as we're going to talk about, and I think this is sometimes the missing ingredient or the missing part of this, expressions of courage, and especially if you're a young leader, please listen to this. Oftentimes it is expressions of courage that establish a leader as a leader. Those are the environments in which leadership or the recognition of a leader is born, where there is challenge and where somebody actually steps out and, again, challenges what is for the sake of what could be.
That's an interesting thought. Can explain a little how courage establishes leadership?
Well, as obvious as this may seem, recognizing the need for change doesn't make the leader the leader. Recognizing the need for change is simply an idea. The leader is the person who acts on what they see. And in that moment, people take notice. They don't have to be the first person to have thought of it. But once a person steps out in a direction or throws out an idea or begins moving, in a direction or moving in a way that, again, challenges what is or what has always been, that attracts attention. That's kind of the momentum principle. Momentum is anything new, improved, or improving. This is new. This is a new direction. This is new language. And people notice that. The place where most of us first saw this principle at work, strangely enough, is when we were children. At some point, we're standing around with our friends, daring each other to do something, what comes to mind is, there's six of us on bicycles on the edge of a very, very steep hill. And we all want to have the courage to go down the hill. And finally, what happens? Somebody goes first. And as soon as that first kid goes, what happens? The rest of us follow. They are actually the leader, and we're actually, following the leader. I remember a situation many years ago, four or five of us were skiing, and we're, on a black slope, and we're looking down, and we all want the courage to go. And finally, somebody goes. And what happens? There's just something about their movement, their courage. We just follow. So, in organizational life, somebody goes first, and oftentimes the person that goes first is recognized as a leader, whether or not it was their idea or not. So back to your question, courage is an essential to leadership because the first person to step out in a new direction is generally viewed as the leader, regardless of their position oftentimes in the organization.
Andy, don't you think a lot of people assume that to be the leader, you have to both recognize a problem as well as be the one who comes up with the solution to the problem?
Yes. And actually, I think both are incorrect. In fact, I think it's those two assumptions that keep some people from stepping out and leading. They feel like, okay, I recognize there's a problem. I recognize we need to make a shift, but I'm not going to say anything or do anything until, I'm 100% sure that I have a bulletproof plan, that I have 100% guarantee for funding. So they wait, and people sit on perfectly good ideas. And the thing that you and I have recognized in our context, and many, many of our listeners, you've seen this with either within your organization or sometimes in the competition. Sometimes the leader just isn't smart enough to know that there's no way to do what they are sure needs to be done.
Right.
And it's not an IQ thing. I think sometimes their confidence in the fact that something needs to change, they go off the edge of the hill before they've thought through exactly how they're going to get to the bottom. And it's the person that stands at the top or waits at the top of the slope until they've planned out their entire execution of the slope. They never go first. By the time they go, they've lost the opportunity to lead. So, you know, and obviously we're not against planning. Obviously we're not against business plans and thinking through and you know, the appropriate amount of caution. But leaders generally don't wait until they have answers to all the questions before they lead out.
Yeah.
And what happens is, and again, we've all either read about this, experienced this firsthand. Oftentimes, it's as we go that we figure things out. And the other thing to keep in mind is rarely does someone have a plan that they stick with all the way through the execution of something new. Mm. Plans change all the time. And so good leaders know, you know, at some point you got to step out, you have to lead out before you have answers to all the questions. And again, I think maybe you're listening today and you've got a great idea and you are so hesitant to execute because you're waiting till you have 99% certainty. You just can't wait that long. You know, if you get to about 80%, you know, take a step, initiate something, at least begin moving or speaking out. Another idea connected to this that, again, we talk about all the time is that the leader in just about any enterprise is never necessarily the smartest or the most creative individual involved. They're just the one that had the, you know, the courage to initiate. I mean, you know, who came up with the idea of putting a computer on every desktop? The answer is nobody knows. Yeah. We know who did it.
Right.
We don't know who the first person to think about it was. I mean, there are some legendary stories related to that whole movement, but we don't really know. We just know who actually did it. IBM became the industry leader because they stepped out and, you know, they got it done. So leaders aren't always the first to see an opportunity, but they are always the first one to seize an opportunity, or at least they're close to first. Again, you know, there's another whole conversation about going too early, and sometimes pioneers don't finish well and they pave the way for the
right
person who, you know, puts an idea on the map. But at some point along the way, you take a step before you have all the answers to all the questions.
Well, Andy, I've heard you say that the landscape of leadership makes courage an essential ingredient. Explain that.
Yeah, well, leadership is always difficult, and it takes courage to do difficult things. The things that we dislike about leadership are the very things that create the need for leadership. I say to leaders all the time, hey, if it's hard, you're probably doing it right. You know, if it's not hard, you're not pushing hard enough.
Right.
Because, again, we're pushing in. We're trying to make things better. We're trying to change things. We're trying to herd people with different skills and talents and, you know, funnel them in a direction, which is difficult. After all, leaders ask people to go to places they've never been before. We require people around us to abandon the known and embrace the unknown with really no guarantee of success. And it's worse than that. Not only are we asking men and women to follow us to a place they've never been before, let's face it, oftentimes we're asking them to follow us to a place we've never been before. Mm. In fact, while we're on this lane, you and I have some history around this idea. 22 years ago, I asked you and Tracy to follow me, in a sense, as we attempted to create a different kind of church. And as you know, several groups had tried before, and we were told this will not work. And it definitely won't work in the Southeast, where there are churches on every street corner and everybody has a clearly defined idea of what a church is. And then on multiple occasions, and you may not know this, I would get us all together and I would think, what if this doesn't work? I mean, I've asked these folks to leave jobs and to, you know, join into this very underfunded experiment. But, you know, back to what we were talking about, what if I'd waited? I mean, what if we, and it was a we by that point, you know, what if we'd waited until we had all the answers to all the questions and all the money we needed to, you know, fund this crazy idea? We would have never launched. So again, it took courage on my part. It took courage on your part, to join in this enterprise. And so courage is an essential in leadership, even within the context of organizational life.
Andy, I distinctly remember a moment probably 5-6 years in when we had actually gotten over the hump and we kind of knew it was going to work. But I remember walking up to an event with you for staff and there were all these people there. And I turned and I said, isn't this amazing? All of these people. And you looked back at me and you said, and they all have mortgages.
I distinctly remember
that. And I remember thinking.
And I said, they all have mortgages and car payments
exactly.
And kids to put through college.
And I remember thinking, that's so true. And that is a burden, if you want to call it that, or a responsibility that as the point leader you carried that I, you know, it's not that I wasn't aware of it, but I didn't see it the way you saw it.
Yes. Well, and while we're on that, you know, every year we have an event called Fall at the Farm where all the families, and we have about 500 people involved in this organization now. So employees show up with their spouses or significant others, and they bring their children. Mm. And I'm telling you, when I pull up on that farm, because I always get there a little bit late, and see the cars and the minivans. I think, wow. And then I, you know, park and make my way down to the event with all these blow-up toys and food, and there's hundreds of people and hundreds of children. I feel that responsibility. So again, that's part of, you know, leadership, and you know, it takes a bit of courage.
Andy, I've heard you call leadership a walk in the dark.
Yeah, because it can be a bit scary. It conjures up, you know, some of those same feelings. The darkness is the uncertainty that always accompanies change. It's the mystery of whether or not a new enterprise is going to work or a new idea is going to work. What are people going to say? What's the board going to say? How people respond? You know, how will fans respond? It's the reservation everybody initially feels, I think, when a new idea is introduced. And again, because we're all human, there's the risk of being wrong. There's the risk of failure. Yeah. There's the risk of failing publicly. And so, yeah, it's a little bit of a walk in the dark. But at the same time, the dark is what provides the leader with his or her greatest opportunities. It's one's response to that darkness, I think, that determines in large part whether or not they are really called or gifted to lead. After all, if the pathway to the future was well lit, you know, as it's been said 1,000 times, it would be crowded.
Right.
And, you know, it's not.
Well, Andy, I'd like to get you to expand on another statement I've heard you make, and that is courage is not the absence of fear.
Yeah, I think one of the myths that we need to explode is the idea that courageous people are never afraid. As I've said on the podcast previously, all the fearless people are dead. I think that's when fear ends. When you breathe your last breath, all the fear goes away with that, you know, that last breath. So just, you know, people just need to forget that. And again, without fear, there's no need for courage. So if we're assuming, you know, courage is needed, there's always the uncertainty that, you know, creates fear in us. So in a sense, Lane, I think courage is the ability and maybe the willingness to carry our fears and maybe even harness the energy that comes with fear into, you know, into the unknown. Again, back to our childhood, if we had waited for all of our fear to subside before we took that first plunge off the high dive, we would still be standing there. We would have missed the opportunity to, you know, jump off the high dive. And Max Dupree, in a book I read years ago, alludes to this. He says, an unwillingness to accept risk has swamped more leaders than anything I can think of. Mm. Another way of saying that is that an unwillingness to accept risk has caused more leaders to miss more opportunity than anything he could think of, because the outcome of unbridled fear oftentimes is missed opportunity.
Well, Andy, along those lines, though, I've heard you distinguish between acting courageously and acting carelessly.
Yeah, at some point, you put water wings on your child before they jump off the high dive, right? That's a great point, because we do not want to leave our listeners with the idea that, hey, just go off half-cocked, it's going to work out because, you know, you went first. I guess it's a bit like handling a venomous snake, you know, the people who do that professionally. I've never done that. You may have the courage to grab one, but you better know how to handle it, or it will end badly.
Exactly. Well, Andy, next month on the podcast, we're going to explore 3 ways to express courageous leadership. But as we wrap up today's conversation, do you have any last thoughts?
Yeah, and it's a statement I've made on the podcast before, but it's one that honestly constantly challenges me. As a leader, we have no idea what hangs in the balance of our decisions to act courageously. That scares me in a good way, that we have no idea what's on the other side of our decision to go first, to step out, even though we don't have all the answers to all the questions. So I think we should ask ourselves a couple of questions. First, what are the unexploited opportunities that exist in our field? We're constantly asking that around here. You know, what are the unexplored? What could be? What should be? What have we thought about but then retreated because we were too busy or too scared? And then, you know, to what degree has fear kept us from exploring or exploiting those opportunities? So to our podcast listeners, as we wrap this up, in your current field, in your current organization, or as you think outside, you know, in terms of what you want to do next, what are the unexploited or unexplored opportunities? And then to what degree has fear kept you from exploring or exploiting those opportunities? I think those are the kinds of questions that we need to constantly wrestle with. Otherwise, again, we miss perhaps great opportunities.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for today. And to all of our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out the andystanley.com website, where you can find the leadership application guide to go with today's podcast.